This rip was brought to you by good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite's here. They build the best Bitcoin hardware in the space. I'm rubbing my block clock right now. Have you ever rubbed your block clock, Logan?
No, I'm not weird.
Yeah, it doesn't feel great. It's not a rubbing product. It's a looking product. You look at it, it gives you great stats on the Bitcoin network. You set it up. It's a beautiful, aesthetically pleasing piece of hardware. Keeps you updated on what's going on in Bitcoin. That's just one thing. That's just like the fun things that CoinKite makes. They're very fun. They're very cool. They also make the best security hardware in the Bitcoin space. Their wallets, the MK4 and the Q1, both come with two secure elements. Both are NFC enabled. Both allow you to create private public key pairs offline in an air gap fashion. So your private keys never touch the internet. You can add entropy to your private key with dice rolls as well with both products. A bit different. MK4 looks like a little calculator. The Q1 is a full keyboard device with a bigger screen, QR scanning capabilities, and it has a battery pack as well. Again, the most secure hardware on the market, allows you to create your private public keys in an air gap fashion. It's the best way to do it. Adding entropy to it as well. Eliminate single points of failure. Cold card helps you do that with their hardware by keeping your stuff offline. They also have the Sats card, the Tap Signer, the Sats chip, a bunch of things. Go check it out at CoinKite.com. Try RHR. Just try it. Tell me what happens. Nobody's told us, Logan. Have you tried it?
I have not. Have you tried it?
I have not. Maybe it's on me. Maybe I should go try it. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Unchained. We talk about them in this episode. They're doing it the right way. They're a financial institution of the future, building their whole company off of Bitcoin's native multi-sig properties. They have their Vault product, which is a 2 or 3 multi-sig in which you hold two keys. Unchained holds one. Since you have those two keys, you control your Bitcoin. You can move it whenever you see fit. If you're ever in a pinch and need Unchained to be the second in the 2 or 3 multi-sig quorum, the second signature, they're there for you. They have the trading desk where if you buy Bitcoin through their trading desk, it goes straight to that vault that you set up. So there's no pulling out keys, wallets, addresses. You buy Bitcoin, it goes straight to your multi-sig cold storage vault. Single points of failure are eliminated in that model. Unchained never holds the Bitcoin. You don't buy it on Unchained, it sits on exchange. No, you buy it, goes straight to your multi-sig cold storage. Whether you're an individual, high net worth individual, a family office, an institution, a sovereign wealth fund looking to buy Bitcoin, hit up Unchained's trading desk. Go to unchained.com/trading to check it out and enjoy this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. Okay.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
We'll keep it tight like a tiger.
Tight like a tiger.
Back for another week. And Matt, the sun setting behind you reminded me that we had to set our clocks back an hour this week. Probably the worst day of the year, year in and year out.
Yeah, I mean, both clock changes can go fuck themselves.
I prefer the one in the spring because we get more sunlight.
And you love your meme, hashtag save the sun.
We need to save
but
the
like,
sun.
It doesn't really matter. We should just... the time on the clock is a construct, is a human construct. Like, we don't need to switch it all the fucking time. We can just adjust our schedule based on how light it is outside if we need to.
I mean, time is convenient. Say, hey, can you meet me at this place at 2 p.m.?
It's convenient because it's consistent. So just maintain its consistency. Stop fucking it up.
Agreed. We're in agreement there. I was with Kelly Lennon.
I like the, like every video person is cringing that's watching this because they would tell me I should have the light in my front and I should take the pretty view instead of the audience. But I like how it silhouettes me. I'm a fan of the silhouette.
Yes, you look very angelic right now.
No, but I like when my like face gets dark. As the sun goes down, my face will get darker.
Yes. By the end of this episode, we may barely be able to see Matt. Unless you got some deck lights. I was going to say, yeah, I was with Kelly Landon last week in Missouri. And he's from Arizona. And he was explaining how they don't do the time difference. Arizona is just completely like, no, we're not doing this.
Well, Arizona, because of the... It's something crazy. Because of the Native American reservations, there's a part of where you can like drive and you have to like four different time changes in an hour or something.
That sounds terrible. Because
the Native American reservations do the savings time or something like that.
Yeah, we either all need to adopt UTC time globally.
No, there's two different things.
Is it?
Did I find it? Yeah, I feel like it's two different things. Like, I think everyone should be consistent in the fact that it's completely antiquated and not useful that we switch times twice a year. It legitimately causes car accidents and shit like that because everyone loses sleep at the same time. Then after we agree on that, we can get into an argument over a universal time. But yeah, I agree with Jevy. UTC for future times and block height for past times. It just makes life so much easier.
Yeah. Another thing, the government fucked up, time.
Thanks for nothing.
Really, thanks for nothing. And it's like particularly the fallback. Seasonal depression's a real thing. Depending on where I am in the world during the winter season, it affects me to a certain degree. And it would,
it just like immediately gets dark, they just like plunge you into darkness. It's like you're gradually getting darker and darker earlier and earlier. And then all of a sudden they're just like, fuck you. It's really dark now.
Yeah. At 4:30.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Well, anyway, on brighter topics, Marty. I think the bull run has returned. We had a question mark last episode. You feel it in the air? Can you
famous
feel it in the
last
air?
Words? God damn it!
Can
everybody,
smell it? Can you smell it?
Everybody, set your buy orders low. Set your $28,000 buy limits.
Bitcoin's feeling really scarce right now. I'm feeling it. It's not priced in. The halving's not priced in. The ETF's not priced in. Macro fiat collapse is not priced in. Nothing is fucking priced in. Go price it in. Stack sats.
Now that you say that, before we get to Clark's dashboard.
Did mempools clear this week, Marty?
They did. You owe me 200,000 sats.
They did not clear. Fake news. Lies.
I saw them in the middle of the night last night. They cleared. You missed it.
Do you want to double it? Do you want to double our bet for by the end of the year?
No, I'm going to take my winnings and go home.
You're not going to win shit.
Speaking of your stat, Bitcoin feels really scarce. Dylan LeClaire tweeted out some HODL waves earlier today.
Got a lot of good HODL wave.
88.5% of the Bitcoin supply hasn't moved in the last 3 months. Logan's going to pull it up here. And if you look at the chart, you extend this something like 60% hasn't moved in more than a year. It's pretty insane. Like we're just staring at a dark screen.
I can't see anything. Is it my side?
Logan's moving. Logan's frantic right now. We were supposed to record at 5. Matt was able to facilitate an earlier start.
Logan rushed in. Shout out all three of us for just being very flexible on timing. By the way, Logan, you were sorely missed last week.
I don't know, Logan. Marty, did you watch Saturday's episode?
Marty pretended he had it under control, but
I watched about 30 seconds of it with the internet that I was allowed by AT&T while you were streaming.
How'd I do?
It seemed to function.
It worked. Did not have this set up. It was good to be back in the producer seat. It's been a while. It's been a while. I used to be the host, the producer, the distributor. I'm happy to have allocated that function to Logan. Logan, how's it feel to know that I can't do your job as well?
It feels like I have a job.
So we talk about Holowaves?
Yeah.
Would you want to talk about the chart, just that big row?
You said Bitcoin's feeling very scarce right now. I mean, in the commentary on the back end of Dylan's tweet is Wall Street is going to have to really pump this thing to get hodlers to part with their coins. It does seem, don't want to ETF stan here too much.
Not priced in.
It's not priced in. There's a lot of misconceptions. Everybody's like, oh. So I saw some people tweeting out yesterday, like, I think it was actually like Santiago Fund. Brett Johnson, is that his name? You tweeted out a price chart, a Bitcoin price chart. It's like, do you really think Larry Fink's going to buy Bitcoin when it's up 107% this year? It's like, I don't know.
Larry's not buying it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. It's like, it's the clients that are buying. It's not like BlackRock's going out.
I mean, Larry probably already secured the bag himself.
If he was smart, he would have already done that. But yeah, there's a lot of
the dude's evil, but he's not an idiot.
No. Had to respect the Finkmeister.
Feeling bullish, Marty. I got a pep in my step.
Caps Odell's back on Noster for anybody.
Caps Odell. Noster exclusive to Cycle.
And he's on Twitter too, just not under the Odell name.
What does that mean?
You know what it means.
Is this a new conspiracy?
I don't think it's for any freaks that are out there and observant enough may be able to tell what I'm talking about.
I haven't used Twitter since August.
I think there's some alt caps proof on that website that proves otherwise.
I definitely haven't. I haven't posted to Twitter. I still scroll sometimes.
Okay.
I'll take responsibility for that.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump into it. We got a tight rip. Back on Thursday for the first time, I think, in a month.
Really?
I think we did the last three episodes on Friday.
Wow.
And Saturday.
The last one was Saturday. We had a Saturday rip.
Yeah. Moving to Clark's dashboard, speaking of price pumps, the current price of Bitcoin is 34,910 cuck bucks. One cuck buck's going to get you 2,865 sats. We're currently sitting at a 682.1 billion cuck buck market cap. We are at block height 815,30,000. Nice even block height there.
Wow, I'm slow today.
Get it together.
Yeah, I manage the OpenSats Twitter account. If you've noticed that OpenSats press releases on Twitter are all caps, that's not a coincidence.
I thought you were just playing coy. I didn't realize you really didn't pick it up.
No, I didn't realize what you were referring to.
We are currently 1,400.
This is the least I could do for GG. If GG asked me to do something, I can't say no.
That is correct. We are currently 1,450 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, looking like an upwards adjustment of 4.7% as of right now. Blocks are coming in at 9 minutes and 33 seconds since the last epoch, during which we had a 2.3% upwards adjustment. There are currently 42,896 transactions in Clark's mempool. There are 9,538.17, which I think is another all-time high in Bitcoin and unspent capacity on this show, at least. And that is 333 million cuck bucks on the dot. 333. No agenda guys would be suspicious about that unspent value. That is the state of the network.
I just wanted to all the freaks chirping in the comments. The majority of the time I'm bullish. is not at all-time high. I just happen to also be bullish every all-time high. The facts don't lie.
This feels like Bitcoin 2019. Matt's got a fresh face, drunk on whiskey on a picnic bench, telling everybody to smash buy Bitcoin.
This is mature, Matt. I'm drinking a Corona.
Okay.
We haven't hit that part of the cycle yet.
When you shave your face?
Shave my face, down a whole bottle.
Shout out to Austin Storms for the...
Tell everyone to market buy. But to remember, that was at 13K. And then I got shit for 2 years.
We're up 200%.
And now it's 36K. And some of those same people are not bullish.
No, Bitcoin failed, you know.
We're still down from the last top I called, but we're up 3x from the one before that.
Hash price currently sitting at 7.2 cents a terahash a day. Miners are happy. Not happy about the upcoming upwards difficulty adjustment. Let's jump into it. We got a list here. Come here to talk about Bitcoin and other freedom tech.
Oh, I like this stat from Narwhal Tacos. WTI crude currently sits at 236,000 sats per barrel. Can we report on sats per barrel
going forward? Clark used to have it on the goddamn dashboard. He took it off. I don't know why.
I like sats per barrel as a metric.
For dollars per barrel, that's currently 82.48. Crude oil was up today from $80. But it's down on the month. It's down. Go fill up your cars while you can, freaks.
That's like the poor man's future trading. Just when gas is cheap, you just fill up all the vehicles.
Yeah, just fill them up.
You don't even have external tanks. You just fill up your like main minivan.
Half tank, fill it up. Fill it up. Might as well.
Honestly, I feel like I just try and always stay. I'm a little bit OCD about that. Like I try not to go for half tank.
I let it go. I let the fuel reserve.
I just want to always be able to drive 300 miles, like 350 miles if I want to.
It's probably a good way to do it.
And like actually... shit and just drive 350 miles at any moment.
And apparently it saves you money because the emptier your gas tank is, the more air is in there, and the air evaporates the gasoline faster. So if it's full, there's less air to evaporate, so you actually save on fuel efficiency there.
So there is my understanding is that like under a quarter tank, it's like bad for the car.
Really?
But I don't know. Maybe it's an old wives' tale.
Could be. All right, moving on to the list. President Biden promised us in the beginning of the year he's going to figure out AI. This summer, we had the kings of the industry on Capitol Hill. Sam Altman, Mark Zuckerberg, Musk, the NVIDIA guy, the Anthropic guy. They were all there going to Congress saying, hey, you need to figure this out. You need to create the regulatory moats for us and give us the licenses and basically let us gatekeep this nation technology. It seems that President Biden took in the advice and came out with an executive order.
Wait, dude, it's even worse than that. Supposedly, like some of his staff said, like he watched the latest Mission Impossible. And yes. Like, I don't know if the latest Mission Impossible, like there's like this AI that's gone rogue called the Entity. And it scared the shit out of him.
This is Hollywood dictating the narrative. What do they say Hollywood does, Logan? It's like, what's it called? Predictive. Somebody in the chat will know. Predictive conditioning. It's some form of conditioning where Hollywood will. It's like when they had the predictive programming. Thank you, Roach. That's what it is. Some
Mission Impossible incepted President Biden with some predictive programming. And he came out with an executive order this week, a landmark executive order to ensure that America leads the way in seizing the promise of managing the risk of artificial intelligence. Executive order directs the following actions: require that developers of the most powerful AI systems share their safety test results and other critical information with the U.S. government. Develop standards, tools, and tests to ensure that AI systems are safe, secure, and trustworthy. Protect against the risk of using AI to engineer dangerous biological materials by developing strong new standards for biological synthesis screening. Protect Americans from AI-enabled fraud and deception by establishing standards and best practices for detecting AI-generated content and authenticating official content. I'll give them that one. I don't think the government's going to solve that problem. I think the free market will.
Yeah, I mean, they're just going to be – like, some of this is from the right place. They're just going to be completely ineffective at doing anything. It just hurts America. This is like the classic – this is the worst type of regulation. All regulation fucking sucks, but this is the worst type of regulation because all it does is just disadvantage America. Like, this tech is out of the bag. It can be self-hosted. There's tons of open source projects that can be iterated on and modified and distributed. And like, you're not going to stop any of this from fucking happening. You can just stop Americans from easily and legally using it.
Yes. I've got some comments on this when we get through. I think it's important to read everything in the executive order because there are some funny ones.
It's like the release notes.
Establish an advanced cybersecurity program to develop AI tools to find and fix vulnerabilities in critical software. Order the development of a national security memorandum that directs further actions on AI and security to be developed by the National Security Council and White House Chief of Staff. To better protect Americans' privacy, including from the risk posed by AI, the president calls on Congress to pass bipartisan data privacy legislation to protect all Americans, especially kids, and directs the following actions. Protect Americans' privacy by prioritizing federal support for accelerating the development and use of privacy-preserving techniques, strengthening privacy-preserving research and technologies such as cryptographic tools that preserve individuals' privacy by funding a research coordination network to advance rapid breakthroughs in development. Evaluate how agencies collect and use commercially available information, including information they procure from data brokers, and strengthen privacy guidance for federal agencies to account for AI risk. And last but not least, on the executive order notes and no bullshit Bitcoin, develop guidelines for federal agencies to evaluate the effectiveness of privacy preserving techniques, including those used in AI systems. And on top of all this, not highlighted in no BS Bitcoin, there's a section on making sure that AIs are essentially politically correct and they don't be racist or discriminatory. On top of all that.
So what's your take?
Setting the stage to control it. I actually recorded with Alex Svetsky, who's working on the Spirit of Satoshi. He's built his own large language model. We dove in. It was actually hilarious because this executive order dropped as like right before we recorded, and I read it, and then we talked about it. And he's become convinced building this large language model and interacting with GPT 3 through 4 pretty consistently that the whole AGI, we're going to discover AGI and it's going to be very powerful. And we need to make sure that there's regulations in place to make sure it doesn't get out of hand is a red herring.
Oh no, this shit's going to get way out of hand. You just can't stop it.
But the gist of what Alex got to, and that episode will drop in a couple weeks, was basically all the posturing by the OpenAIs, Anthropics of the world, and the government working hand in hand with them is essentially to create this regulatory moat that I mentioned earlier, to license AI models and only let a select few produce them and then only let them produce them in certain ways. And it's really just to create these extremely strong propaganda tools that really don't have any authority baked into them. It's really just the context that's handed to them from the people that build the models and the data that's fed to those models that gets spit out.
I mean, so
like the whole concept, like woke AI, like if you ask it, is inflation good for the economy? You'd be like, yes, inflation is good for the economy. It means that the economy is growing.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that regulators and big corporations, you know, want they'll seize any narrative to get more control. Like, ultimately, what they want is control and power, and the money that comes with that. That said, as a freedom tech proponent and someone who thinks it'll be a massive net positive for the world, like, AI shit will get crazy. Like, I don't think that's a narrative that's based in lies. I think it's a narrative that's grounded in straight logic. And I don't pretend to like comprehend what the implications are. And it's not going to play out like fucking Mission Impossible, but even just like on the most basic layer, right? This idea of scam calls where it's a loved one pretending to be you to a loved one to scam them is fucking mind blowing crazy. And that is just basic scratch level surface of what's possible. Like I don't think you start mixing all this shit together and it's going to get fucking crazy out there. You just can't stop it. And if you try and put these burdensome regulations on Americans, you're just setting back Americans. That's what you're doing. Cause you can't stop any of this shit.
Agreed. What was Nick Offerman's character in Parks and Recreation? Ron Swanson.
Great character.
This is all you'll be able to do to avoid the Borg, if you will. Logan, get ready. Coming in hot.
Also, like, 90% of people, 80% of people is going to use, like, fully captured, you know, propagandized corporate tools.
Yeah.
As is tradition.
I got you.
The important part is that we have the freedom tools available to them and the education so that they can choose to use it when they realize the need. No one can force them to do it.
No.
What are you trying to pull up? What's going on over there? You guys are having your own conversation.
You'll see. You'll see.
Should everyone lower their volume? Is their eardrums about to get blown out?
No, it's a GIF. No sound.
That's what you guys are working on? It's fucking perfect.
Yeah. Everybody throw out your phones.
Ron Swanson throwing a computer in the dumpster.
Yeah. We've just been made aware that the Nostra live stream went offline.
That's why I was fumbling with my phone. It's working fine for me.
Well, Zapstream's a young project. I'm sure they're going through some kinks. They had the Nostra day one and day two live stream, Nostrasia live streams up there. So they've probably been getting hammered.
Hammered. Looks like it's working on Logan's phone. Doesn't look like it's working on the desktop browser. But back to the AI conversation. Was it this executive order? Or was there another one that had reporting requirements on particular amounts of compute?
This one.
Yeah. So that's like another thing.
That's dangerous for Bitcoiners.
Yeah. I think that's...
Miners over a certain amount of hash rate need to register, whatever would be the comparison.
Yeah, but that's like the crazy thing about it too is I saw somebody.
Yes, Joshua, we can see your message.
I saw
he
somebody.
Asked if anyone could see it, sorry,
Joshua, shut up in the chat, please. I'm trying.
And
to
we can see the Nostra chat too, for what it's worth. Thanks for your zaps.
Keep sorry, zapping. Marty. Joshua, I'm kidding. No, I saw somebody tweet out in jest, like, well, if we're to read the letter of the law as it's laid through in this executive order, which should be crazy to you, like the whole normalization of executive orders that started back with Obama, people really kvetched about under Trump. It's just been the executive order is completely, what's the word I'm looking for?
It's a tyrant's decree.
Yes, it's a tyrant's decree, and it's been completely abused since Obama normalized it. Back during his candidacy? No, not candidacy. His terms when he was president.
back then. But if we're to read this executive order, it's like the letter of the law. One can make the argument that, like, humans, like, literal human thought is computation. And if you're alive for a certain amount of time, you can deduce that you've made the number of computations in this executive order and then have to report your mind to the government. All your thoughts. Not that that would be possible, but I think what it's trying to get at is just, like, a very poorly written executive order. And as we know, with everything in government, they'll pretend like they're making a law or a mandate for a very specific part of the economy. People will think it's just for AI, but they could easily be like, oh, no, Bitcoin miners are doing one to the E64, I believe, computations per day or something like that. So you have to report everything to us.
I think in the scheme of things, none of the specifics really matter. We should expect a failing government to lash out on its population as it fails. So I expect it to only get worse in terms of what gets written and what becomes law and what gets enforced. The only really actionable thing we can do is build tools and networks and communities that are resistant to all that bullshit, because the system is fucking broken and it's fallen to pieces. And I'm completely disenfranchised at this point. Like, I just expect the worst.
Agreed. I concur. I expect the worst too. It's only going to get... we've been saying this for 5 years now. It's only going to get worse. It's only gotten worse.
Mandibles than Bitcoin Standard, folks.
You heard it here first. Protect yourself.
Relentlessly.
Moving down the list towards more government infringement on individual citizens' lives. Kraken to send customer data to IRS in November. Kraken has notified its users when they will comply with the requirement to provide IRS with user records. The IRS had initially demanded a range of records and data related to Kraken's U.S. clients. In response, Kraken objected to demands, emphasizing its commitment to maintaining client privacy. The exchange engaged in a lengthy litigation process to challenge the summons. While Kraken was able to reduce the number of clients affected, the court ultimately ordered the exchange to produce information and transaction histories for clients who had transactions exceeding $20,000 in any single year from 2016 to 2020, making this one of the largest successful attempts by the U.S. government to obtain data on crypto users. IRS, 87,000 more agents.
Well, they haven't hired the majority of those agents yet.
Hopefully they don't.
If they do, hopefully many freaks will be a part of them. Go mine that fiat. I think this is important to cover because Kraken's a popular exchange, so people might not be aware of it. I would say that I was a little bit surprised that they weren't already providing this data. But there is a precedent here at Coinbase back in like 2015, fought a similar summons, got a similar result. It was like a reduced information that they had to provide. And they had a similar threshold, but you have to realize that threshold like covers a shit ton of fucking people. Like, that threshold is not that large. So this is something we've talked about very often on the show, which is any information when you use these exchanges, like, people talk all the time, these regulated brokerage services, exchanges, people talk all the time about custodial risk, not your keys, not your coins. You're trusting them with your Bitcoin. Well, you also have a privacy custodian in them as well. You are trusting them with your private data, that your transaction data, your personal information, when you bought Bitcoin, what addresses you withdrew to. And you should expect all that data to get leaked, shared, bought, sold, used against you. Like, expect the absolute worst with that data. And if it doesn't happen, then you're like, then you're in a good spot. But you should always operate that it's all going to get exposed. We saw Binance KYC data get leaked out to the public at one point. We've seen in the bankruptcy proceedings, a lot of this information gets leaked now. Early days of Bitcoin, we didn't really have public bankruptcies. It was just like good old fashioned rug pulls or like some kind of token listing to try and recoup funds. So be aware, freaks. And I would say that if you are going to use a KYC service, there's definitely, you know, first of all, CoinJoin can be very helpful. We've talked about CoinJoin and Link, but also Lightning deposits and withdrawals. There's a lot of different ways you can still expose information, but the privacy guarantees of on-chain Bitcoin are so poor that it's almost universally a net benefit in either equation, whether you use Lightning or CoinJoin. Ideally both. But yeah, just be aware, do your own research. But this is an issue.
Yes,
this is an attack on Bitcoin. This has been an ongoing attack on Bitcoin. The fight us stage is starting to really heat up, but it's been going on since 2015-ish when they started getting KYC on as many Bitcoin services as possible.
Yes. It's daunting. It's a bit unnerving. Don't like to see it. And a lot of you probably feel helpless out there. You're not helpless. You can stand up and tell these people to back up. You've gone too far.
Use the tools.
Use the tools.
Build strong local communities.
That, but I also do think we need a groundswell of people speaking out against this stuff. These people are old. They're insane. They're lame. And they're driven by darkness. I wrote the newsletter on it Tuesday night. Stayed up really late writing that. I think it is a mental light switch that needs to go off in everybody's mind. Like, these people are completely off base. They're completely overextending what they should be able to do. And it's time for people to use the tools and then vocalize, like, hey, you people are fucking insane. Back up. You're ruining the country. You're ruining the world. Leave us the fuck alone.
I mean, that'd be great, but after COVID, I think you have to be pretty crazy to expect civil disobedience.
I think COVID was an eye opener. Yes, we lost a lot of people along the way. They're still here on this earth, but I do think, I mean, you look at Moderna. Moderna was down to 25% today, market open. Their financials were released. Only 2% of the people taking the booster.
Not the point.
Look at you pessimist.
I'm not a pessimist. I'm a fucking realist. I say what I see. And internally setting the right expectations is incredibly important. Otherwise, you're caught flat-footed.
I agree with that.
I think most people, at least in America, are essentially digital slaves to big tech. And I think the overwhelming majority rolled over to all the different COVID policies. I am operating under that expectation. Like, I don't think, you know, civil disobedience runs bright in American blood historically. But like, as a group of citizens, we probably are the most docile Americans that have ever existed. And that's just a fact. Like, people can't even, civil disobedience, like, people can't turn off their phone for 24 hours.
I agree. But I disagree with the hopelessness. I agree that is the state.
I'm not hopeless. I'm not hopeless. I have lots of hope. I'm quite bullish.
But statements like that,
I agree with. Even the bull scenario, like the bull scenario is like, like millions, billions of people drowning. Like, that's like the best case scenario for freedom tech. Is like a lot of fucking pain out there, but it's just that individuals and the communities they build can be resistant to it, and can take matters into their own hands, which is incredibly powerful, which is incredibly hopeful and optimistic. But I just try, like, it's, I don't know, like, it's important to stay grounded, because I was, those years, like, it kind of broke me, because I think I had a little bit false expectations, right? Like, we talk about my cursed tweet, right? It was like the December 2019, bullish on humanity, and it was during the Hong Kong protests, and then like Hong Kong fell and we had, you know, years of COVID clown world bullshit. It was like that. That is like the dichotomy. Like, I'm not 2019 Odell anymore. I've had 4 years to just properly set my expectations.
Agree. I guess the point I'm trying to make, though, is I worry that putting it that way would lead to complacency, where it's like, all right, well, if everybody's just docile, like, I might as well not do anything.
It's the opposite, or, like, speak of complacency. That's the opposite of complacency. That's like, under this situation, if you don't take matters into your own hands, your family's fucked. I think, yeah, I don't know. It's like, freedom isn't free, you know?
Freedom isn't free.
It's going to take actual effort, personal responsibility.
Yeah, and how do we slap the docile?
Many people will drown. It's unavoidable.
FBI agent, we're speaking figuratively here, not literally.
Yeah, many will drown because of federal bullshit. Investigate yourselves.
Beware, freaks. Moving on. Speaking of disobedience in the eye of the federal government, Tether had their Q3 attestation show the highest percentage of cash and cash equivalents.
This is
cash equivalent reserves yielding close to $1 billion. Tether Q3 attestation reveals highest percentage cash and cash equivalent reserves, over $330 million reduction in secured loans, and $72.6 billion exposure in U.S. T-bills.
These guys are stacking $4 billion a year on interest to government loans, U.S. government loans. That's crazy.
And the government hates them. It's beautiful.
They have like 15 employees, and they're making $4 billion a year on government debt. That's fucking insane.
It's impressive. It might be the most successful company. I think we've talked about this. I don't know if it was on air or off air, but if you factor in that headcount, yeah, headcount to profits, it's pretty insane. CRR presents Tether's.
The only ones they're probably competing with are also like are very illegal businesses. So like it kind of makes sense that they're like a gray market business.
Yes. Yeah, Joshua points out the government hates them but needs them for that.
I don't know. I think like it gives them a little bit more leverage than it used to, and you know, puts them in a slightly better position, and maybe it delays things. But I think that's a weird narrative. Like, and I bet you like the 15 people at Tether are not prescribing to that narrative, where they just think they're insulated from U.S. government intervention because they're a buyer of T-bills. Mm-hmm. Like Russia was a buyer of T-bills.
Yes,
we're waging a war against them, and we sanctioned all their T-bills.
We are waging a war, and we're not involved. We're not involved. What are you talking about?
The whole reason Bitcoin exists is because things like Tether eventually get fucking hit by a cruise missile. That's why Bitcoin exists in the first place. Look up Liberty Reserve. Do your homework.
Speaking of which, did you see that Bitstein video this week?
I did not. I meant to watch it. I wasn't in a sound on environment, and I refused to disrespect him by playing it without the sound on.
Okay. We're going to finish the Tether story.
And then we're going to play it for everyone.
Yes. Kevin Rook.
First time.
Yeah. Find it, Logan. Get it ready. But Kevin Rook reported that this means that Tether increased its Bitcoin holdings to approximately 61,606 Bitcoin, up from 54,987 Bitcoin in Q2
of this year. So just to be clear,
So they stacked 6,000 Bitcoin in 3 months.
A foreign shadow central bank that provides gray market USD is stacking $4 billion a year, loaning money to the US government and buying Bitcoin with it. That is our current reality. That is the current situation that's going on with Tether. Just to put that all out there. It's fucking crazy.
I mean, they're speculative attacking the US dollar, essentially, using treasuries.
In the best way ever. Like Saylor did it, but he was doing corporate bonds. Like, this is you're actually lending money to the US government to attack their currency.
Yes.
Pretty crazy.
And the US government's issuing a lot more of these bonds these days. In Q3 this year alone, we printed $1.7 trillion worth of treasury bonds, $2.1 trillion throughout the first three quarters. Janet Yellen said we'll probably, I think, need to do at least $770 billion through the rest of the year, so they'll bring around $3 trillion in 1 year of treasury bond issuance. And so they do need demand. It may be, how much do they own in treasuries? Let me pull that back up. Treasuries, they have $56 billion. Yeah. So they need that's a good chunk of that new issuance that could take off the market.
What's their daily issuance?
The treasury?
Yeah.
I mean, it varies, but we can get the average. Treasury, I saw people tweeting about it earlier this week.
Like, how many days is 56 billion?
Treasury's cut back on issuance due to a surge. That was in 22.
Like, isn't that just kind of a drop in the bucket?
Yes, but they need every drop they can get in the bucket.
Like, how many trillions of outstanding debt is there?
33.6 or something like that.
Yeah, so it's like 33.6. It's 56 billion divided by $33 billion is like fucking nothing, right?
33.6.
I mean, you don't have to do the math. It's fucking nothing. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't really think like that really protects Tether from getting cruise missiled.
It's 1.6% of the total issuance. It's material.
And to be clear, like, I'm not being a Tether truther. Like, I don't think that the U.S. government should attack them. Yeah, I respect the hustle. And I think everyone should be free to choose whatever money they want to use. I think that should be the sane position of most people. Unfortunately, it's not. But this is the reality. The reality is they have had a massive target from the U.S. government on their back ever since inception, and they've somehow survived this long. So kudos to them on that.
I did the math wrong. It's 0.016 or 0.16%. 0.16.
It's a dumb narrative. Narrative debunked.
Okay, debunked narrative on Rabbit Hole Recap. That's why you come, freaks.
They also announced that in that release, they said, I think they said $800 million this year they invested in mining, funding startups, and research.
I think...
which is a seriously large number.
Tether, Northern
Data.
They
didn't break it down further than that. They said it was for mining, energy research, I think, and like VC funding.
Yeah, and it just got announced today too. So that's
not part of their reserves.
No. And this just got announced today, which wouldn't be part of this October 31st attestation. That Northern Data Group, which is a mining group out of Germany, secured a $610 million debt financing facility from Tether to expand its Bitcoin mining, AI, and data center operations.
How much?
$610 million. So that almost doubles.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're printing cash.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Scoop brought to you by The Block. Tether. The pirates of the industry. One of the pirates. One of the pirate ships out there. I like Paolo a lot. It's very impressive.
Paolo's always been a real one.
Yeah. And he just took over as CEO, didn't he? Officially?
I don't know. He might have. What was he, CTO before that?
Yeah. All right, let's go.
He's always been the CEO in my head.
Yeah.
I just feel like I immediately think Paolo whenever I think Tether. Yeah.
Tether truths are seething right now. How funny would it be to beat Bitfinex?
He sold at $800 because he thought Tether was propping up the price of Bitcoin and has been going crazy ever since.
And they have an attestation that proves they're printing $1 billion of profits off of treasury yields quarter on quarter.
Crazy timeline.
They're stacking a shit ton of Bitcoin. That's the other thing too. They added 6,000 more Bitcoin to their balance sheet in Q2.
To be clear, at $800, I told Bitfinex he was a fucking retard and that he should just buy back his Bitcoin stack. So I have no remorse on that front.
I mean, wait, now let's do the math. God damn it. We got to do the math now. We go back.
The funniest part about the Tether Truther thing is if Tether blew up, Tether blowing up is not priced in yet either. Like if Tether blew up, Bitcoin would
pumps
fucking do amazing in that situation.
Explain to the freaks why.
Because Tether's black market dollars and you can't escape to your Chase checking account if you have Tether exposure and you're trying to get out in a crisis mode. The only place you can go, the only safe haven, few understand this, is Bitcoin. Bitcoin is like what Tether pretends to be.
Yeah,
it's the ultimate safe haven asset. And people will use Tether as long as it's available to them. Millions of people will use Tether as long as it's available to them because it's convenient and because they ultimately want dollars. Until they realize that they are sacrificing third-party risk and that they are trusting a centralized third party that has a massive target on their back from the American government. And they probably will not realize that until it fucking happens. And from that point forward, like people, many millions of people will learn a lesson they will never forget. And that's why Bitcoin is valuable, because you don't have to fucking trust anybody.
Yeah, just to the math. This math doesn't add up.
What math?
On the attestation, it says the value of the Bitcoin on their balance sheet is $1.661948724 billion. But then if you multiply 61,606 Bitcoin by 35,000, you get 21 billion.
Okay, well, we don't have to do this math on air.
Oh, wait, no, 2.1 billion. The price has gone up. This makes sense.
You looked at the zeros wrong.
I looked at zeros wrong.
Many such cases.
I actually saw this. I saw Michael Atwood saying on the Mac calculator, you can add the commas.
On the what? What are you talking about? Are you losing your mind?
No, you can show. You go to view, and then you have to click show 1,000 separators. It just fixed it for me. Thank God. $2.1 billion worth of Bitcoin. And they have 86 billion in Tether out there. So Bitcoin just needs a 40X from here, and they're fully reserved to Bitcoin.
Just a humble 40X. Why so bearish?
They could be fully reserved plus one. 80X, baby. Let's go. All right. Let the good vibes roll. We haven't mentioned yet. I probably should mention it since we're recording this week. Tuesday, October 31st. 15th anniversary of the white paper. Bitcoin has been an idea that has been public.
Happy 1031 day.
For 15 years and 2 days. It's crazy to think, a decade and a half. Still very early. Bitcoin has made a lot of progress in 15 years. It's ruffled a lot of feathers.
Honor and a privilege to be a part of it.
It's made people extremely rich, extremely poor. It's humbled many. Fascinates me. Yes. We haven't lost our minds yet. I think
many have.
Yes. The fact that we've made it 5 years and haven't completely lost our minds yet.
We certainly impressive.
We teetered on the edge a few times. We always reel it back in. We keep each other in check. Mainly you keeping me in check to make sure I don't go completely insane. But we're good.
I'm gonna lose my fucking mind at 500K.
You almost blew your entire mind out your nose one time.
Snotty Bent.
Snotty Bent. Good memes. Good memes on this show. Thanks for bringing that up, Logan.
This is why we need Logan.
Producing a segue for the Bitstein video, which is a lot has happened in the first 15 years of Bitcoin being an idea and then a workable implementation. We'll have another celebration January 3rd. People fight, whatever. I don't care. But there was a lot of progress that was made that led to Bitcoin, and Bitstein highlights it in his 15th anniversary video that he made. Play it. Make sure the sound's good.
I don't believe that we should ever have a good money again before we take the thing out of the hands of government. We can't take them violently out of the hands of government. All we can do is, by some sly roundabout way, introduce something they can't stop.
God.
Nailed it.
He's so good.
Expected nothing less. Absolutely fucking crushed it. Sorry to the freaks listening to the podcast feed.
Go to Bitstein's profile on Twitter. Watch the video. This is the type of propaganda we need in this space. Very inspiring.
I want to see this propaganda on Nostra, Bitstein.
I told him to post it on Nostra. He's like, I don't remember the last time I posted. I checked for him. It was 8 months ago.
Yeah, well, tell them to get on it.
Bitstein's work's perfect, though. Start with Hayek. Bitcoin is our sly roundabout way. There's a lot of progress that was made that led to...
I still love the... when the bull begins its run.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like, pump that right in my veins right now. Like, that's where I'm at.
Should we play that, too?
Where were you when the bull begins its run? Oh, I live that.
Each candle, fast and tall. Best is like he wrote a script out for that and had somebody.
The bull begins to strong, right?
Yeah, let me.
It was so good. Feeling bullish. You see, I called the silhouette, by the way. Shout out me.
You did. No, but that inspiring. I think this ties back to what I was saying earlier. Like, that inspires. We were just monkeys until Satoshi dropped the white paper on us and gave us a tool to use as a shelling point and a rallying point to build a freer future on top of. It's a beautiful thing. We're going to win, freaks. All right.
Some of us will.
Wet blanket Matt, man. You can always depend on them.
Yeah, dude, wet blankets are great in fire situations, though.
They are. They are. Need somebody to keep you real. Keep you in check. We got to keep going down the list. We said we're going to keep it tight. Almost an hour in. Azteco vouchers are now available in Italy at more than 5,000 Mr. Pay locations.
Love the name of the retail store.
It's a lot like Mr. Skin.
But Azteco, I just thought this was important to highlight because it just Azteco just quietly just continues to roll out their network. They're in a shit ton of stores right now. As you can see, this one deal was 5,000 of them. So the way that flow works is if you're in Italy, you can just go into one of these Mr. Pay locations, tell them you want to buy an Azteco voucher. You could probably say Bitcoin, but a lot of times they don't know what you're talking about. So just say you want to buy an Azteco voucher. You pay them cash and they give you the voucher. You scan the voucher and then you get the Bitcoin. Boom, done. Easy. Usually no KYC. If there is any kind of information, it's very light. Really great product.
Yeah, and important to note, this is available in meat space stores as well as online retailers connected to the Mr. Pay network.
Cool. I like the vouchers. Right now, you'd be able to, if it wasn't for corrupt regulators, you'd be able to go into any store in the world and buy a Bitcoin voucher. Like any convenience store, gas station style store, anywhere that they sell other vouchers and stuff. The only reason you don't see that is because corrupt regulators. It's a perfect fit. Give them cash, scan the QR code, have Bitcoin in your wallet. Boom, done. Easy.
Good KYC free. No idea. No ID. No account necessary. It's a beautiful thing.
David Edmonds is saying in the comments he went into four shops and they looked at him like he's gone crazy. Yeah, that's kind of common, especially in the early days. Expect it to be a little bit rough around the edges. The early days specifically of them rolling out with like a partner where the employees don't know that they're offering that now. But specifically say Azteco, don't say Bitcoin, because they're trained to treat it like you're adding airtime to your SIM card or something like that.
Azteco, just ask. Keep trying, just David. Ask. Keep trying, David. Moving along, bitcoindev.org is a new website filled with Bitcoin and Lightning education resources. Are we allowed to say who it's created by?
Our boy Vortex made it.
Yes. Vortex, I owe you a DM back.
That's all I know. But yeah, shout out to him. Go check it out, bitcoindev.org. If you're interested in becoming a Bitcoin developer, there's a bunch of resources on how to get started at his website.
Shout out to Vortex, one of the early educators who I depended on back in 2015, 2016.
He had a great show and then he stepped away. And it's cool to see him still working in the space.
Yes, it is.
Contributing.
Shout out to you, Vortex. I'm trying to...
We have T. Joran Hendley in the comments mentioning, good reminder, based on the Azteco news, that for Canadian Bitcoiners, they can do a similar process at post offices using Bull Bitcoin. So if you're unfortunate to live in Canada, that is a really great service that you have at your disposal.
Yes. Shout out to the Bolt Bitcoin team.
They're crushing it.
All right, last company update, and then we'll get into Boost and software updates. Strike upgrades, direct deposit, wires, cards, and more. Jack Mallers sent out a Medium blog post 3 hours ago talking about all these upgrades. I think the wires are a pretty big deal.
Yeah, the wires are a really big deal. So wires aren't easily reversible in the United States, so they don't carry as much fraud risk. So you can, my understanding is you can send a wire of any amount to your Strike account and then immediately buy Bitcoin with it without any limits.
Pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Matt,
meanwhile, historically it's been ACH and debit cards, and they can get charged back relatively easily. So there's limits and all that good stuff.
What should we say to our friends in Australia? Apparently we're streaming live there right now.
Oh, that's badass. Well, I'm feeling massive FOMO.
That tuna was pretty big. Did you guys eat the whole tuna? I need to know.
What tuna? I missed the tuna.
You didn't see the tuna? Tuna was pretty big.
I didn't see the tuna. I saw a bunch of the talks, not most of them. I need to catch up on the talks, but vibes seem to be high and I'm having massive FOMO. And I hope to see some people at Nosterville next week. Me and Marty will be recording a live RHR at Bitcoin Park in Nashville. But yeah, no, it's bullish as fuck. Bullish as fuck. And also I do wonder what the big shoe companies did to Jack for him to constantly destroy them. The Snowden Jack talk is one of the few I saw, which was fucking, it was a great conversation.
Yeah, I still need to catch up on all the talks, but I'm very much looking forward to Nashville next week. In Nashville, what can we expect? Sold out event?
Sold out. I mean, it's a free event, so come.
Maxed out on the meetup.
Tuesday to Friday. It's going to be a really great time. But yeah, just to wrap it up, just huge shout out to all the freaks in Tokyo. Love you all. That's really fucking cool. And huge shout out to X-Frog. I saw him behind the scenes helping out in Australia. That dude's a fucking legend when it comes to audio and even video stuff. Huge ride or die freak. Really fucking appreciate him. But to the freaks that don't understand my Jack comment, he interviewed Snowden on stage. Snowden was remote because the U.S. government will just fucking take him out if he leaves Russia. And Jack asked him, he told him he's keeping Nostra weird, so he's not going to wear shoes on air, and asked Snowden if he's wearing shoes. And Snowden said, well, I'm wearing no pants and slippers, so plenty comfortable on my side.
I fight against big shoe in the summer. I go barefoot for most of the summer. Like 90% of the summer, I'm barefoot. It's hard here in Texas. With that, yeah, you mentioned Snowden. Edward, if you're watching, thank you for what you've done. Your support of Nostr and Bitcoin is important. And his Snowden's talk at Bitcoin Amsterdam was a good rallying cry, too. Like, yo, get your shit together. These governments are going to come after you.
Snowden's talk at Bitcoin Amsterdam kind of reminded me of my talk at Bitcoin Amsterdam the year earlier. But I have so much respect and appreciation for that guy, so...
Is that like
it's really cool seeing him echo it.
Was that a roundabout shout out to me?
It was not a roundabout at all. I just straight up did it. I mean, also Jack asked Snowden about, his current situation and, you know, will he ever be able to leave Russia and like how he thinks about that and, will he have normalization with America and whatnot? And he used it as an opportunity to talk about Assange. And I thought that was just really like just a class act move. And not surprising.
Well, that's it's funny you brought that up because I was just about to mention, I'm not sure if you saw this, but looks like Tucker Carlson went and visited Assange in prison this morning. I'm curious to see if an interview comes out of this. I doubt it will, but that would be pretty massive if it did.
Of course an interview is going to come out of it. He's Tucker Carlson. Why else would he be visiting him?
Do you think the government would allow him to be interviewed?
I mean, if they're going to let him visit him. I mean, do you want to bet that there's an interview coming?
I hope there is.
The bull is heating up, Marty. I could use some extra sats. I'll bet you 200,000 sats that Tucker Carlson releases an interview with Assange if he's actually walking. Is that his account? Yeah, that's his account. I'll bet you 200,000 sats that an interview is coming.
I mean, I hope an interview is coming. I don't want to. I'm not going to make that bet.
Imagine if Marty Bent tweeted out, visiting Julian Assange at Belmarsh Prison this morning with a picture of him in his sweater vest and his khakis walking into the prison lot, and then you didn't release the TFTC episode afterwards, I'd be like, what the fuck, Marty?
Same. Well, I'm looking forward to this interview when it comes out.
I was just looking for cheap sats. I'm hungry.
When Matt lays his head on his pillow every night, he goes, I don't have enough sats.
Always ask hungry. Your children, do you have enough Bitcoin when you put them to sleep?
All right. Moving along. Shout out to Snowden. Shout out to Assange. And shame on you, all the governments in the world that have forced these gentlemen into exile and, you know, quite literally torturing Julian Assange.
It's fucked up. Free Assange. Free Snowden. Free toes.
And shame on all the media. This is actually a big move by Tucker, because outside of like Glenn Greenwald and a few others, none of the prominent media personalities have broached the Assange topic. So
yeah, the media class has been incredibly sad when it comes to Assange.
Yeah.
They don't want to step on any toes.
Well, Tucker's unleashed. Seems like he's
a fellow journalist.
DGAF. All right, here we go. Shout outs from Rabbit Hole Recap 276. Return of the Bull?
Great, great title. It is the Return of the Bull. The Bull is here. Where were you when the Bull began its run? Yeah, and also free Ross, of course.
Yes, obviously.
We haven't won until Ross is freed.
@_T_Dundenhofer. Trent, shout out to Trent. 77,777 sats, sevens across the boards, palindrome boost. Thank you to Marty. Shout out to me and all the other great Bitcoiners for ascending upon my modest town of Jefferson City, Missouri for the Bitcoin Expedition. It was a fantastic event put on by Build Asset Management with a great turnout. Bullish on Bitcoiners and bullish on small towns. We will win. We will win, fuck Trent.
Yeah. Cheers to that. Shout out to you. How many sats was that?
77,777. Sevens across the board. It's palindrome boost. Coming in at number two, Cum Rocket. 69,420 sats, and he's here to pump the Reading Bitcoin Meetup. Tuesday, November 21st, 2023, at Fratelli's Pizza Parlor at 1774 California Street in Reading, California, from 6 to 8 p.m. Interested in Bitcoin? This is the meetup for you. Discussions may range from simple to advanced. All topics are welcome. We are a community of Bitcoin enthusiasts, both seasoned and brand spanking new. Don't be shy. There's so much more to Bitcoin than meets the eye. Don't be distracted by all the noise. Attend this meetup for Signal. Again, that's Tuesday, November 21st, right before Thanksgiving. So if you're traveling home to Redding, California for Thanksgiving that week, you may want to hit up Fratelli's Pizza Parlor, 1774 California Street, 6 to 8.
That reminds me, on Wednesday, next Wednesday, the 8th at Bitcoin Park, 12 to 5, we will be doing a 1031 Tribe event with Tony from Mutiny and Milan from Primal.
Yeah.
So if you're in the area, consider coming to join us. If you're coming in for Nosterville, come in early. We also have BitDevs on Tuesday, so if you come in even a day earlier, you get both. And you can see like what we've been working on at 1031. The tribe events are these quarterly events we like to run with our founders and our wonderful network of our wonderful family of investors. So just come join us. We won't bite. It's fun. It's not an off the record talk there.
I'm excited for it. Excited to see what's going on in Noster. That made me think, what time is it in Tokyo? Shout out to you, Tokyo freaks, tuning in at 8 a.m. local time. Bright and early. Coffee rep for you guys. At Eric99, 50,000 sats. Stay humble. Stack sats.
Great advice, Eric. Love to hear it.
At thanks Gary Krause, 17,000 sats. eCash escrow can help fix the Lightning Network liquidity lockup. Enjoy the double boost. Going to get coffee now so that doesn't happen again.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Gary. We appreciate it.
Gary, I don't think you double boosted us. I don't know what happened there. I only see one.
Is there anything worse than apologizing for a double boost while only giving a single boost?
No, because then you actually have to go double boost. It's like, I could have saved myself 17,000 sats. But got to be a man of my word. Just kidding, Gary. You don't have to double boost. Those are the top four shout-outs of Rabbit Hole Recap. 272.
Oh, the Tokyo people are living in the future right now. That always bugs me out too. It's a crazy thing to think about.
By the way, I
276
updated the title of this one because it said 276.
Oh, thank who you. Said the title?
You set the title.
Yeah, I did. Shout out me. Sorry.
This is it was not 277.
This is 277. That was my fault.
It's okay. It happens. It happens. Back to the list. We got to wrap up here. Both have families we have to get back to. StartOS is now available under the MIT license. This is big.
This is massive. Fucking love to see it. Shout out to their team.
Part of the announcement, StartOS no longer belongs to Start9 as a company. We are its stewards. We are its engineer team. We're going to pour our lifeblood into it, but from proprietary stance, we have the same rights to it as everybody else in the world.
Really fucking cool to see. I want to see more companies building on releasing their software projects as fully FOSS software projects that anyone can modify, iterate on, distribute, monetize. To be clear, Start9 before this had a license that was still very admirable in my opinion, which was this license where you could do everything except sell it. You could modify it, you could distribute it, you could build it yourself, you can do all the things except for sell it. Now they have zero restrictions on it whatsoever. And to those that don't know, StartOS and the Start9 hardware that runs it, or you can use it on your own hardware, is a very easy to run self-hosting solution. So a home server, take all the things that are in the cloud. The cloud is someone else's computer. That's big tech's computer. You're a slave to big tech. Run it at home instead. Become more sovereign. Take your freedom back. Defend it.
Yeah. And what I'm really excited for, what Start9 is going to build in the years to come. They've announced that they're going to start working on their home security systems in 2024 and other self-sovereign tools that you can self-host at your home. So you don't have to give up your home security to Amazon. Did you see that video of the, what's it called? You go to somebody's house and you just break in. What do you need? A warrant. It was like a warrant that was executed.
Oh, and they just like walked up and then just put the code in the Ring fucking lock and just opened it.
So they went to Amazon. They're like, what's this dude's code? They're like, oh, here you go. Just literally walked up, didn't even knock, put the code in and walked in.
Yep, dude. And most people don't give a shit.
Nope. Matt, before we move on, as somebody who is a nice sunset respecter, I need you to turn around. Just look at that sunset. It looks beautiful from here. I'm sure it looks even better in person.
That's quite nice.
It looks quite nice. Even
thanks for appreciating it.
Even with this blurry view. Can't see your face anymore.
I'm on cell phone internet.
Moving on. There's no here. We'll go down the list. Cathedra OS, Bitcoin mining firmware by Cathedra Bitcoin. Drew Armstrong, AJ Scalia, Isaac Fithian, and Reet Browning. Reet and Isaac really worked on this OS, which will allow you to underclock your machines to be more profitable and increase your margins. When hash price is low, they've been working on this solution for over a year. We've implemented it at Cathedra, and it's really helped our profit margins in this bear market. And so now we're releasing it to the market. So if you want to prepare your fleet to be able to underclock efficiently, to be as profitable as possible, go to cathedra.com/firmware. Disclaimer, I'm on the board of directors at Cathedra.
Is it open source?
I don't think so.
Does it have a backdoor in it?
Yeah, we're trying to take everybody's Bitcoin. Just kidding.
No way to verify unless it's open source. But this is great to see. That's awesome. Yeah. Not to bust your head. I put it on the list to congratulate you guys on it, not to bust your balls, but couldn't help myself.
Wet blanket, Matt, here again.
We had the last conversation about FOSS, so.
It's true. Brains released a new OS firmware today, too. I don't think we have it on the list, but I saw Jan tweeting about it. You no longer have to upload the firmware via SD card. You can do it remotely now, which is pretty massive for them. So shout out to Brains as well.
Oh, that's badass.
Yeah. Don't have a link to that. Zeus version 0.8.0 beta 2 has been released with improvements and fixes. Padawan wallet version 0.12.0 has been released. Everything's been translated to Spanish. It's good to see. It's testnet only Bitcoin wallet. So if you're looking to test.
Padawan, I think, is DeLorme, Stephen DeLorme. If I recall correctly, is the maintainer. But the idea, maybe I'm completely wrong about that. Actually, yeah, I don't know who it is. But the whole idea is a wallet that's really easy to learn on. And so that's why it's just testnet only.
Padawan makes sense.
You have Bitcoin works.
Good luck, young Padawan, as you learn Bitcoin. Liana version 3.0 has been released with Bitbox O2 support. So you can now incorporate another hardware wallet into Liana, which is leveraging Miniscript and Multisig to bring new features. Do people want to test them out and use them in production?
Oh, shit. This is huge.
What?
Oh, maybe that's only Signet. They're saying you can use the managed Bitcoin D. Trying out Liana on Signet is now easier than ever. Liana's great. One of the biggest issues is that you have to run your own local Bitcoin instance, Bitcoin Core instance. So I was wondering if they were offering a hosted option, which obviously hurts your privacy, but means you don't have to sync a Bitcoin node. But it's pretty cool. Everyone should check out Liana.
Go check it out. Torque version 1.3.0 has been released with a refined dashboard, advanced workflow, channel filters, and more. Speed through these. Fulcrum version 1.9.3 has been released with improved sync mempool task performance. On to Noster updates. Loom version 2.0.0 has been released with a new UI, NSEC bunker, and outbox model support. Amethyst version 0.80.1 has been released with FOSS push notifications. And then we have links to Nostrasia day 1 and day 2 that we'll put in the show notes. And the last thing we have on the list is that Japan approves $110 billion stimulus package to fight inflation.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
I put that there. I was like, Marty's going to get a good laugh at this if he missed
it. And they let their yield curve go to 1, their 10-year. So now they're yield curve control, I believe it was at 25 basis points at the beginning of the year. Now they're letting it float up to a whole percentage point, 100 bips.
this is the best headline because literally everyone in the chain of this headline existing, from like the PR people in the government that like crafted the narrative, to the reporter who wrote the story, to the editor that wrote the title, to the person who pressed publish on fucking Nikkei Asia, like, I think most of them believe it. I think most of them believe we can print money to fight inflation. Like, I think that's where we're at right now. I don't think that's priced in.
I don't think it's priced in either. It is comical when you think about the chain of people that needed to okay this. Wait a second. $110 billion to fight inflation? Yeah, it sounds good. Do they think they're literally going to hire people to like fight off inflation?
They're like, ship it. Great idea.
Just fight inflation by beating people to death on the streets so they can't go spend money? Is that how they're going to do it? They're going to pay people?
That could actually work.
Is this,
if that's the plan.
Is this the job destruction plan? Is this the end state of the job destruction plan? You print $110 billion to hire people to beat others to a bloody pulp so they can't spend money throughout the economy? What has the world gotten to?
It's like $110 billion for Hunger Games, right? It's like, Squid Game or whatever. Not Hunger Games.
So while we're on macro talk, ISM manufacturing index came in woefully, like lower than it was pre 08. Atlanta Fed lowered its
manufacturing. What is that?
It's basically the oldest running manufacturing index.
Oh, wow. Look at that chart.
Yeah.
I thought Bitcoin was volatile.
Doesn't look good. Yeah, so we're at our lowest point since 08. Going
is
lower.
It just how volatile it is.
That makes sense, like seasonality for manufacturing. Manufacture more.
So we're in like a historical down season regardless, right? That's what it kind of looks like.
Yeah, this is a recession indicator when it falls to these levels. Leading indicator.
I guess 2020 is like an anomaly, right?
Yeah. Apparently, you can't manufacture things when you lock people in their homes.
It's funny how that works.
Yeah. The Atlanta Fed came out yesterday and reduced their Q4 2023 GDP expectations from 2.3 to 1.2%. So almost cut in half. There are more Americans holding two full-time jobs at the same time than ever before right now.
And the husband and the wife are both holding two each.
Yeah, four jobs per household. Not enough. They got to print money. We need Yellen and Powell to come out. We got to beat Japan, number one. We're America. We do things better. We need a $220 billion.
Oh, I love it. I was thinking double too.
Stimulus package to hire a bunch of goons to just go beat people out of the workforce so they could stop spending money.
By the way, freaks, that's where 200K by Commerce Day came from. Like, Sailor at 100K, and I was like, well, you should just double it. It's such an easy formula.
Yeah. Yeah, it's risky out there. Powell came out yesterday. He was very confusing, didn't know what to say. He was stuck between a rock and a hard place. Couldn't say that he was worried about the economy. Couldn't say that it was doing well. He basically said nothing. Markets are screaming. So they took that as, oh, Powell didn't say anything, which means if you factor in these jobs reports, these manufacturing reports, these GDP forecasts, they're going to have to lower rates again and print more money. So markets pumped on that. Tail wagging the dog.
People have been saying this whole time, though.
Tail wagging the dog. Yeah. Clown world. Maybe we'll find a peak one day.
Neither of us thought they were going to raise rates this high.
No. No.
Because it's suicide. So now comes the suicide part.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, Stan Druckenmiller came out this week too, and he actually applauded keeping the rates high for longer. We actually have a hurdle rate coming back to market, so opportunity costs exist, so you have to think about allocating capital.
He also said he likes Bitcoin, but he's too old to own it.
You're not too old, Stan. Stan, come on down.
I think it's a good realization. I like it. I respect it.
This is ageist. This is disgusting.
Like, I mean, his kids can own Bitcoin.
He can own Bitcoin, like, too.
I like how content he is. The guy probably doesn't even fucking use email. He's probably like, fuck, I'm too old for this. You know?
Stan Drunk.
His secretary sends his emails from him. I like the self-awareness of it.
Stan, you're worth 6.2 billion cuck bucks. You probably want to, if you want to die that much purchasing power, you should probably buy some Bitcoin.
I think he's good. I don't think he's got anything to worry about.
He went on a spree this week. He also went on CNBC and basically admitted, he's like, my generation has fucked everybody over. We're drunk. It was verbatim. He's like, we're drunk.
Where he mentioned Bitcoin was a fun conversation because it was him and our boy, Paul Tudor Jones. The longtime ride or die freaks might remember Paul Tudor Jones. He was our boy Paul for about like 6 weeks.
Our boy Paul, yeah. Dude. Paul. Got to come on the show.
Dude, he's like, Paul is neck deep in Bitcoin. Like, he was like fucking fudding it and trying to get it to go down, stack his bags.
It's the fastest horse, baby. I know there's some of you freaks out there in the TradFi world. A lot of very well-off freaks that listen week in, week out. I know one of you out of the hundreds of thousands that listens to the show have to be connected to PTJ. Tell Paul. My tell message. Our boy Paul.
What's your message?
We want him on the show. We just want to talk. We just want to have a chat. A little bullish powwow.
My message to all the suits out there that are listening that are not allocated to Bitcoin yet is that my one goal in life, besides having a happy and healthy family, is to accumulate more sats than you, and I'm winning. And if you want to die like that, you can die like that. But if you want to try and outstack me, good luck.
And that's all we have this week, freaks. Peace and love. Dickie.